I have sort of a meditation for you tonight. I want to call it the secret of effectual prayer. This picture of the man bowing over his food. My mom had that, and then one of an older woman praying, facing the other way. These were up on the wall in our kitchen. So I found that. I thought it was a nice picture. Secret of effectual prayer. We want to be effectual in our prayer. We don't want it to be ineffectual. So what do we do? Well, we come to Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus is talking, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, what we want to do is to look at this realistically. And so this, in fact, is an aphorism, which means a true saying that is not always true. You get what I'm saying? Therefore, not absolutely true. A true saying, but it doesn't always apply. You say, you're saying that the scripture isn't. Well, here he says, what things soever you desire, what you desire, what you want. When you pray, ask, believe you will receive it and you shall have them. But now we find the Apostle Paul, you remember him, the Apostle Paul's desire in prayer, 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I didn't like it, I didn't want it. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times. He was praying, he was desiring it to go away. He was praying to the Lord. He was wishing that it would happen, that it might depart from me. That was the desire. And he said, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace, what I give you, is greater than the deficit of this thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You're asking for one of your weaknesses to go away. I want people to see your weakness, so they know that the power that comes from you is not from you, but from me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, oh, sorry, I didn't understand. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, kind of boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want the power of Christ more than I want that thorn in the flesh gone. You remember Christ's desire in prayer in the garden, his desire, Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove, or the Greek here, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was asking for the cup to be removed, but only if it was God's will, and it wasn't. So he did not get the desire of his heart, you see. But he was okay with that. Another example of an aphorism, Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, the Hebrew for days and years of life, and peace shall they add to thee. So, technically, this does not promise a long life, defined as 80 years plus, whatever. But it does promise to add days and years to a person. But we could take it as, we could point to this verse and say, well, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to live a long, long, long time. But that may not be true for you. Generally, is generally true. The life lived in obedience to God's ways is a long, peaceful one. Part of the series this in the morning service, on the Ten Commandments is we're going to be talking about God's law as showing us the best way of life. Part of the best way is that it keeps us from the areas of danger, of harm, of destruction, of death, and so we live longer. So, but the point is that not every righteous person lives a long and peaceful life. I was reading of Carlo Acutis. He was an Italian teenager born in 1991. To win people to the Christian faith, he was a Catholic. But we won't fault him for that. He saw that there was truth in this, and he wanted to lead people to it. He used his computer skills to create a website aiming to inspire others through digital evangelism. He volunteered to help the poor and the homeless in his community. He defended bullied classmates and stood up for those who were marginalized. He lived with remarkable humility and generosity, often giving away his own possessions to those in need. But he died of leukemia in 2006 at just 15 years of age. So we're not talking about absolute truth in these things. We're looking at aphorisms that are truths that you can count on under normal circumstances. Often, rebellion, a life of rebellion, cuts a person's life short. But shortness of life is not necessarily a judgment for neglecting God's laws and commandments. I remember the baby that my wife and I had died before it was properly born. That's a pretty short life. But he didn't do anything wrong. Our verse again, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So let's look at this, break this down a bit. So Christ's promise here is true. We understand it to be generally true, normally true, usually true. But we leave room for God to have another specific plan for us. But if we are going to learn about this, let's look at the five components of Christ's promise. Number one, desire. You go to God with a desire. What things soever ye desire, he says. The word desire is translated several ways. The Greek word is translated several ways in the King James. To ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, and that's more than White Castles. Desire or require. So the things that you are wanting, you desire. The Old Testament saints understood this. Psalm 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. The humble going to God saying, we can't do this on our own, but we have a desire for this. He says, okay. My wife and I find that from time to time God just answers a desire that we didn't realize we had, but we pull into a crowded parking lot and find one spot left right up by the door. Now we have the sign in our car, disabled, yeah, whatever it is, guy in a little wheelchair. And God just kept the thing, put his hand there. So Psalm 21:2, thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. He says, we saw that, you just did what he asked. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. I have thought through this, and this thing about delighting in the Lord is kind of a self-correcting thing that puts you in a place where God can give you the desires. And then Psalm 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And jumping over to Proverbs 10:24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Innermost fear, innermost desire. and God reads it and delivers it. You remember Daniel praying for his desire to understand Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Daniel 2:23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. The very thing we ask. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. So, the first is a desire. So, as we're preparing to ask the Lord, we grasp that concept of a desire. This is something that we truly want. Think of it as a need. Think of it as a requirement that we ask for. All right, five components. First is desire. The second is we pray. He says that when you pray, we must recognize that it is God who answers. We must turn desire alone into prayer. We cannot count on wishes alone. The world looks at Christians who pray and get answers to their prayer, and they turn it into wishes. When I wish upon a star, you're wishing upon something way up in heaven. I think that's their idea of what prayer is, you know. So we pray. I remember that wonderful story Scott Craney told about when one of his babies was little and having trouble, and they were in the hospital, and the baby was just screaming and crying, and he was out, Militia was in with the baby, and he was out in the hall, and he found himself saying, come on, baby, you can do this, you know, come on, quiet down now. And then he thought to himself, why am I saying this? I should be praying. And so he just quietly prayed, and immediately the baby quieted down. And so he, like most of us, laughed and said, boy, that was funny, what a coincidence. And then bit by bit, the baby got irritated and started crying again, and he prayed again, and the baby stopped immediately. So he mentioned this funny thing that happened when he prayed, and Militia said, so that's what it was. We were looking, maybe the baby got choked or something, or just stopped crying all of a sudden like that. We didn't know what it was. He goes, yeah, it was prayer. So we take the desire and we pray. Pray is asking, even begging. The third is trust. So it's a matter of believe. He says believe. The word believe means, this word believe means to entrust a thing to one. If I have my flash drive, I entrust it to the computer table guys, and they use it properly, and then they return it, you see. So I'm trusting them. I'm believing in them. I'm entrusting something to them. And that's the concept. So we have a desire. We pray to God. And as we're praying to God, we're taking the thing we desire and laying it in His hands. We're going to trust you with this thing. It's quite a neat picture, isn't it? The fourth one is reception. And now he's talking about what we believe, what we're entrusting, that you receive them. The word that is the Greek hoti. It is a particular word for that. That means for the purpose that. It's talking about purpose. So, the word for receive may mean take or receive. It's the context to tell what it means. So, it means this. Believe, that word trust, entrust to God, that you receive. Believe it. Take the answer into your hand. You entrust to Him that you receive. You see? You're picturing giving this to God and God giving you what you ask, giving what you desire. And the last component is having. Having, he says, ye shall have them. So the phrase, "you shall have them," means literally, it shall be to you. It shall exist to you. So, as we apply this to our desire for powerful intercessory prayer, for instance, which is what we've been talking about, having that ability to truly deal with God, asking prayer for certain ones, for certain situations. It shows us that we, number one, must desire this in our lives. Number two, ask God for this. Number three, entrust Him with it, rather than try some, psychological trick to do it yourself. Number four, picture our receiving of it. And number five, it will exist for us. Think through what it is that you really want from God, and this ability to have effective prayer in intercessory prayer, praying for someone, and counting it as happened. This is the general truth that he said. Now, be exceptions when God says, "I'm sorry, they need this affliction to help them." Oh, okay, we didn't know. There are times when, like with Christ, he would say, we cannot accomplish what we want if this does not happen. And so you said, well, then just give me the strength to go through it, like he did, see? So it's a generally true thing, an aphorism. So let's put this to the test. Let us try this. This is what he says. Put this to the test. Believe God, put this to the test.